Thank you, Scott, for the introduction, and thank you everyone for being here this afternoon. My participation today will cover the HIV epidemiologies, primarily among men who have sex with men, and we also discuss some studies that we have done in the past year using data from the National HIV Behavioral Surveillance System as part of our collaboration with the Puerto Rico Department of Health. I would like to also, I'm an epidemiologist by training, so it's important to highlight that this session is very diverse, as it should be in order to understand in more context what is the HIV epidemic in Puerto Rico for the political landscape, policy, and also epidemiology, because we need data. We need data to document the burden of HIV in the island and identify disparities and work effectively with them. I have no relationships to disclose. Recent data from the Puerto Rico HIV surveillance system indicates that there are over 46,000 people living with HIV in the island, and over 20,000 of them are people living with HIV/AIDS. It is estimated that every year, 700 new cases of HIV infection are reported as part of the surveillance system. In terms of the epidemiology, when we look at age group, as you can see in the table, the higher proportion of cases are between the age of 25 and 34 years old. But if we look broader, are between the younger strata, the 50 to 34 years old, and we almost 50% of them, of the cases, cases of people living with HIV are reported. In terms of sex, the higher proportion of HIV cases are in men. And if we focus now only in men, which is my intention in this presentation, historically, as part of the HIV epidemic in the island since the 80s, IDU transmission has been the most prevalent mode of transmission in the island. And it differs from what is the epidemiology of HIV infection in the States. But now, if we see trends of new cases of HIV infection in the island, what that figure shows is the number of new cases from 2003 to 2014 by MSM in the red line and IDU in the blue line. And as you can see, it's a significant increase in the number of new cases in MSM, twice as much in the 2015 and compared to 2003. And this is a significant observation. And simultaneously, you can see a significant decrease in the number of new cases of HIV among injection drug users. That's using data, recent trends data. But also, it's important to highlight that the new cases of HIV infection are observed in MSM are observed between the age strata of 13 to 34 years old. And you can see how it shifts the number of new cases to heterosexual sex as the year age strata increases. So it's those new cases, not only MSM, but also young MSM. So how does this position the epidemic of HIV in the island if we compare it with the States? Well, unfortunately, Puerto Rico ranked between the first 10 positions in almost all the indicators that CDC uses to document the epidemic, has highest rates of AIDS estimated incidence, prevalence, and cumulative number of diagnosed HIV cases, but also has the fifth prevalence of HIV infection in adults. So the burden is documented as part of the system and also as part of the Centers for Disease Control. But the data that I previously discussed with you this afternoon focus on the case surveillance data. And as you know, the case surveillance data is very important and pivotal in order to document the epidemiology and the epidemic of HIV infection, but also we need to document behaviors and how those behaviors change or emerging behaviors over time in order to capture and track the epidemic. So this collaboration that we started in 2002 with the Department of Health helped the academia, the Graduate School of Public Health in Puerto Rico, to collaborate with the Department of Health in order to use data from other population-based studies and document behavioral indicators among MSM in Puerto Rico in particular right now. This is our first stage. We're focusing in MSM. Develop collaborative research and publication. I think that all agree that in order to make this problem heard as part of an important health problem and challenge in the island, we need to document it, and we need to document with very good data. We're also partnering with community-based organizations, healthcare providers, in order to talk about what the evidence on our data says and let them know concurrently of our efforts, so they can translate them in the medical care. It also helps us to evaluate the current observational studies and surveys and to see if there's anything else that can be done to measure behaviors and practice effectively. In this past year, we have worked in three primarily studies using data from the National HIV Behavioral Surveillance System, which in brief, since 2003, the Centers for Control and Prevention did this behavioral surveillance system in 20 jurisdictions, including Puerto Rico. Those 20 jurisdictions most hit by the epidemic, and the behavioral surveillance system cyclically recruits different high-risk groups, such as men who have sex with men, injection drug users, and heterosexuals and high risk. In terms of the recruitment of men who have sex with men for the surveillance system, they use venues-based sampling, and they systematically identify venues and recruit those men who've reported that have had sex with a man in the last 10 years. So briefly, what the data show us, this figure shows the prevalence of HIV testing comparing the cycle of 2008 versus 2011. And as we can see, is that more than half of sexually active men did not have any HIV testing in the last year. And it increased as compared to 2011. But also what the data shows is that there are no significant changes in those men having been tested for HIV as compared to the last year. So pretty much stable. We will expect, in terms of good public health practice, we will expect an increase in getting tested for HIV testing. In terms of unawareness, we saw that the vast majority of MSM weren't aware of the infection, and it increased from 2011 as compared to 2008. And there are several points that I would like to discuss with you this afternoon. First, this is higher than other jurisdictions in the states. Second, and this is a very important point because unawareness is being used as part of the national strategy as one of the indicators in order to tackle the epidemic. It is expected that it is aimed that 90% of those HIV positive know their status. So we can hypothesize that this high percent of unawareness might lead to the high number of new cases that we have been observed as part of the surveillance system. So I think that unawareness as part of our efforts with the community in the island needs to be acknowledged as a public health challenge, and we need to work with that in our country. Okay, so this table, what it shows is the predictors of HIV unawareness, and what it says is that the number of male sexual partners increases, the prevalence of unawareness increases as well by 1%. Also, another predictor of unawareness, of HIV unawareness, is that disclosure. So those reported to the sexual health preference to a healthcare provider are 35% more likely to be unaware. And that for us is that more work needs to be done. Not also in MSM, but also in healthcare providers. and use that opportunity of encounters in medical care as that it can be missed opportunities for HIV prevention and promotion. Also, we measure disclosure, so the prevalence of disclosure of MSM to a health care provider, and our data shows that despite 92% of them, of MSM, being out to other friends and family members, only 53% have disclosed to a healthcare provider. And for us, again, another opportunity to take both, it's dual, the responsibility is dual, and we are aware of that, but using disclosure as an opportunity to linkage to care and prevention is important. When we look at predictors of disclosing to a same-sex orientation, we saw that your MSM are less likely to disclose. And also, those who have not been tested for HIV in the last 12 months are 50% less likely to disclose. Finally, I would like to discuss with you the evaluation that we did as part of the surveillance system, behavioral surveillance system. We use the guidelines of CDC for evaluation of surveillance, which is considered using 5 attributes: simplicity, data quality, representativeness, acceptability, and flexibility. And doing that evaluation, I would like to share with you the flexibility attribute, which is the ability to adapt to changes. And I think in this group, it is important for us to understand the emergence of new trends, modifications of old ones, and how capable is the surveillance system to measure them, and to measure them effectively. We found that the system is capable of measuring traditional behavioral and sociodemographic risk factors that had been identified as part of the epidemic, but we can do more, and we can create models as part of our partners in the Department of Health have identified from other jurisdictions, particularly in questions that are not yet included, but it could lead to predictors of linkage to care, of lack of HIV testing, for example, such as mental health, HIV and MSM-related stigma, the use of internet and mobile applications for sexual encounters. We don't have that data yet, but I think we think that this information will be important, not also for measuring, identifying predictors for risk, but also in terms of methodology, like I said before, NHBS recruit participants using venue-based sampling. So is that methodology enough to capture an emerging trends in this population, now that we understand that this group met with other technological applications? And also tobacco use is an important measure to use, particularly that we did a study using medical monitoring project, and the prevalence of tobacco use among HIV population in Puerto Rico is higher than the general population, and that's been replicated in other studies nationally. But again, if we like to use this surveillance system as a measure of behaviors, we recommend that those items will be included. So in conclusion, we're documenting and focusing on MSM, and unawareness for us is an important area that needs to be tackled in behavioral interventions, but interventions that are multi-level. So the impacts, not also the individual, but also providers and the system itself. But we understand the surveillance system is a good instrument, and we can maximize it for identifying trends and later on public policy. In terms of future directions, I would like to conclude saying two things. The importance of capturing good data is important, it's also important for document the whole HIV continuum from the infection to treatment, and how we in Puerto Rico can use the the surveillance system and complement it with other system or with other data to understand the epidemic as a whole and not only in one segment. That is what the future for us holds. And also, I'm also part of the cancer center. And this final thought is important to let you know, the epidemic of HIV cannot be seen also about the infection. Thanks for the antiretroviral therapy, now we're seeing those patients living longer. And we can see now the sequela of diseases such as cancer. And just to give you a final data, people living in HIV in Puerto Rico has 87 higher rate of incidence of anal cancer, both men and women. And also another finding that we found using data from the cancer registry is that after diagnosis of anal cancer, the probability would survive after 3 years is only 53%. So that's important. It also captured the chronicity of disease beyond the infection itself. And I think that's all I have for today. I thank you all for your attention, and I would like to acknowledge my team, but also the presence of the Dean of the School of Public Health and the Director of the HIV Surveillance System. Thank you.